felt like there should have been more, just going by the music, you know? Like, dun-dun-dun, dun-dun-dun, you know, one of those deals? Anyway, my name's Scott. Can I move this? All right. It just feels like if I look over here, I'm seeing, like, mic stand, you know, and I want to be able to see everybody. So, yeah, my name's Scott, one of the pastors here at Calvary Harvest Fields. So really good to be with you this morning. And as Jake mentioned, we are in our Jonah series. A lot can happen in 3 days, and we're going to be looking at Jonah chapter 3 here in just a minute. But I just want to give you just like a little bit of my week. So we made it through. I got 5 kids, and my wife teaches in the school system. So we've got like 6 people in our family in the public school system, which is like a great way to stay healthy. And we made it through. Like the whole winter with like just kind of nothing. We just like honestly, we kind of skated through the winter. Like we didn't have the flu, COVID. You know, we just were like, this is amazing. And then, like Friday, Saturday, like a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, we get a call. My 9-year-old son, he's at school. He's not feeling well, running a little bit of a fever, stomach ache. Bring him home. It's the stomach bug, right? So he's getting sick. And then, like, once that hits, you're just like holding your breath, right? You're side eyeing each other, like, who touched this doorknob last? You know, all that stuff, and then it's like, you know, that night, because it always seems to hit about, you know, 2 to 4 in the morning, because that's the kind of, you know, service this particular sickness provides. We got through the night, and it's like, hey, nobody got sick, and then we got through the entire next day. It's like, nobody's sick. The whole next night, we're like, we're golden. This is amazing. We come to church last Sunday, and like, literally, there's probably 3, 4, 5 of you in this room who talked to me out in the commons, and I was like, this is what it feels like to win the lottery. I'm like, because somebody in my house got this stomach bug, and it literally went to nobody else. And then I left second service to my wife standing out there saying, hey, the twins have both thrown up twice. One was in the play space, one was in the classroom, one was in the hallway, and one was on her way to the toilet but didn't get there, and it's just on the bathroom floor. So then we're helping get that taken care of and everything. So I'm like, oh, you know, spoke too soon, hashtag not that blessed. Got home, and then I went down Monday, and then Kayla went down Tuesday, and then Thea went down Thursday, and it just was like one at a time picking us off. And at some point, I'm like, is there any chance this moves? We got 8 people living in our house. It's like, is there any chance this moves slow enough that it starts back around and picking us back off on the backside because we're not getting sick fast enough? Start licking doorknobs, you know. But we're okay. We made it. I actually had a little bit of time where I was like, hey, Jorn is currently preaching in Tyrone. I'm like, Jorn, just be ready to either, you know, play a video here this morning, or you jump in here and play a video at Tyrone. I'm not sure I'm going to make it, but I'm here, and I am genuinely excited to be here, and I'm excited about this next kind of piece of the Jonah story, Jonah chapter 3, because, you know, if you've been here the last couple weeks, you know, Dan, you've been hearing the messages that Dan's already been preaching, and one of the things he said earlier that I really, really appreciated was just kind of, you know, the Jonah, everybody zeroes in on the whale or the big fish, you know, that's kind of like the highlight, you know, piece that almost anybody, whether you grew up in church, didn't grow up in church, you know, everybody kind of knows that part of the story. And he was making the point that really Jonah is way less about that than it is about the giant heart of our Father. You know, the incredible love that our Father has for every single one of us individually, but also that he has for like a city, you know, for a community, for a neighborhood, for the nations. And so I love that idea. And I think what we see in Jonah chapter 3 is a really beautiful picture of the heart of God, just what his love is able to accomplish, even sometimes when we are kind of standing in the way. So that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. So just to give you a real brief recap, because I don't, you know, I know that, you know, not everybody's heard each message that came before this, or even necessarily totally familiar with the story of Jonah. So in the story of Jonah, there's this city called Nineveh. It's a great city, is what the scripture tells us. It's got, you know, by their standards in those days, it was a massive city, had like 140,000, something like that, people living in it, and it was a very, very spiritually dark city, violent city, dark city, and God basically says to Jonah, who's one of his prophets, one of the people that God has speaking for him, he says, listen, the sins of Nineveh are so bad, I'm getting ready to bring judgment, but I'm going to give them a chance to kind of repent, turn around, change the way that they're living. And so I'm going to send you and let them know, hey, judgment's coming if something doesn't change. And Jonah says, it's not so much to God, but just kind of to himself, like, I don't really dig this assignment. And so he gets a ticket on a boat to basically the other side of the known world. He is running as far away from Nineveh as he can possibly get. But God pursues Jonah. In the midst of that, he sends this massive storm. The boat looks like it's getting ready to sink. All the people on the ship are throwing their cargo over. They're trying to figure out what's bringing the storm. They start praying to their own gods and all this kind of stuff. They cast lots trying to figure out who's responsible. And it turns out it's Jonah. Jonah kind of knows in his heart, yeah, this is true. This is my fault because I'm running away from God. You know, Dan talked about, hey, sometimes the storms in our lives are God's pursuit of us. It's not punishment. It's not judgment. It's actually God's way of pursuing our hearts and trying to get us back to where he wants us to be. You know, doing what he's called us to do, going where he's sent us to go. And that's really what we see in the life of Jonah. And they're like, well, Jonah, what do we got to do to kind of get out of this? And he's like, you really only got one choice. You got to just throw me overboard. And the guys don't really want to do it. They actually try to not do it, but there's no way around it. They actually ask God for forgiveness, and they throw Jonah overboard. He just kind of starts sinking, and he's ready to drown, thinks he's going to die, but God sends a fish, kind of a miraculous salvation thing. Jonah gets swallowed up. As I read the story, you know, my thought is like, it had to feel for Jonah like I went from like imminent death to like a much more prolonged claustrophobic death. Like, doesn't necessarily feel like salvation when you're like, I'm about 30 seconds away from drowning, and then you get swallowed by something, and then you're just sitting in its stomach for days. It's got to be like, wow, he's real mad at me. But, you know, God is in the midst of that, and he, like, Jonah kind of has this come to Jesus moment inside the heart of the fish, and he's got this prayer that you can read in Jonah chapter 2, and God decides to have the fish spit Jonah back out onto dry ground, and that's kind of where chapter 2 ends, and that's where we're going to be picking up Jonah chapter 3. So that's where we are in the Jonah story. So let's go ahead and read Jonah chapter 3. We're just going to go ahead and read the whole chapter because it's only about 10 verses, and then we'll kind of start talking about some other stuff. So, Jonah chapter 3, verse 1 says, then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth, which was just kind of a way of expressing your mourning, your sadness, your repentance. When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. This is the proclamation he issued in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let people or animals, herds or flocks, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he did relent. He relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. Let me just take a minute to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your heart, your love. And God, we just ask that as we spend a little bit of time here in Jonah 3, just looking at your word, talking it over, Lord, we just ask that our eyes, ears, minds, hearts, that we would just be wide open to whatever it is that you want to teach us, show us about your hearts, about your heart, our hearts. God, just let us be humble and teachable in Jesus' name. Amen. So before we kind of, there's kind of three main things that I want to zero in on out of this chapter. But before I do that, I want to share. So I've kind of recently been, had it on my heart to work on my Sabbath. So I've always kind of had, well, not always, but for quite a little while, I've had a Sabbath day where it's kind of like, you know, your day off work, that sort of a thing. But just wasn't convinced that I was using it to the fullest potential. You know, I wasn't necessarily using it to do things that were really refreshing me, specifically in my relationship with Christ. You know, it's one thing to not work one day. It's another thing to spend that day doing something that really just brings life and rejuvenation kind of back to you emotionally, mentally, spiritually. And so I kind of had in my heart, like, I'm going to revamp my Sabbath and that kind of thing. And then, you know, just kind of felt convicted, like, hey, my wife, her name's Thea. You know, again, I said she's a teacher. We have a handful of kids, and I'm like, I mean, I want to help her be able to Sabbath well. I want her to be able to enjoy a Sabbath day. And so, you know, I kind of brought it up to her, and we've talked about it some in the past. It's always been a little bit of like a pipe dream type of a feel, specifically for her. It's kind of like, you know, between all the things, it's like, you know, really, I'm going to have a Sabbath, I'm going to have a full day off. And I was like, well, you know, I don't want to dismiss it out of hand. You know, it's like, we can be intentional, we can get creative. There's, I think it's worth having the conversation. Let's have the conversation. So we started kind of, you know, talking through some of that stuff. And one of the things that came up pretty quickly was like, hey, I'm going to need more help from you, Scott. I'm going to need more help from you around the house. If this is something that you really want me to be able to do, I need more help from you. So she's not going to be able to Sabbath. So I'm kind of like, hey, I'm up to it. I was like, I'm up to it. Like, let me know what do I need to do. So I'm starting to be, you know, more intentional. You know, cleaning up laundry, dishes, different things like that, and being more intentional. We got, you know, a 16-year-old and a 13-year-old. Well, 14 now, 14-year-old, and it's like, hey, you guys, you got to do your part. We're all kind of coming together to try to make this happen specifically for mom. And as I'm kind of like making some of these efforts and trying to be more intentional, you know, have my eyes open when I'm walking around the house, all that kind of stuff, I found out, you know, my heart is not always in it. You know, there's just times where, like, I'm not passionate about cleaning up the house. And it's like, I love my wife. I have it on my heart to help her be able to have a Sabbath. You know, like, those desires are there. I understand it. And, like, and even just the kind of the intellectual piece, like she should be able to Sabbath, that we should be picking up more of the weight so that this is something that she could do. Couple guys in here getting uncomfortable. I'm going to be moving. I'll transition shortly. You know, it's like this should be, but it's like there's times where I'm just like, I don't care. I don't want to do this. I want to act like I didn't see that third pair of socks that somebody just kind of went like this after school. You know, I don't, and here's what I found, that even when I clean up and my heart's not in it, Thea's not that, she doesn't sweat it. I'm like, hey, listen, I emptied the dishwasher, I started a load of laundry, I'm currently folding the towels, but I just want you to know my heart's not in it. And she's like, okay, you know. It's not an uncommon thing for us to be doing things that our hearts aren't necessarily in, that we're not necessarily passionate about, that we're not excited about. My guess is, I'd be surprised if just about anybody in this room got through this week leading up till today, and there wasn't something that you were doing at home, at work, in the family, in some context, somewhere in your life that you're like, that my heart is not in this. I don't want to be doing this. I'm not excited about this. I'm not passionate about this. I tend to kind of, I grumble sometimes whenever I'm doing the stuff that I'm doing around the house that I kind of said I'm going to do. I'll talk out loud. I'll do narratives of what I think the kids must have been thinking or saying to themselves when they were making the particular mess, right, that I'm cleaning up. It's like, not only is my heart not in it, my attitude is not good. It's not even like I'm just kind of like lukewarm or neutral. It's like I'm actively bucking up against the fact that I have to spend my time doing this stuff. And I think really that's a part of the story of the human race, the human condition, right? We're called to be servants, and sometimes we even choose to serve, but there's a difference sometimes between choosing to serve and choosing to be a servant. But we just have these aspects, and it's like my heart's not in this. Now, as I was kind of thinking about that, I thought, yeah, but one of the things that we really sometimes don't talk about or talk about even less than you know, work, family, you know, my heart's not in those areas is, like, what about church? Like, have you ever come to a Sunday morning service and your heart's not in it? Like, the worship's going on, and maybe it's really clicking up front on the stage. Like, you know, they're really not, I'm not even just saying, like, hey, they're playing their instruments well or they're singing particularly well, but I'm saying, like, it's there's a sense of the presence of God. And but you're here, and for one reason or another, your heart's not in it. Or the fact that we've been sent, as followers of Christ, we've been sent the way that Jonah's been sent. You know, our Nineveh is probably, for most of us, our Nineveh is our neighborhood. But we've been sent, and there's times like, my heart's not in it. I'm not interested. I'm not excited to walk across the street. I'm not passionate to try to make a connection or find a way to love and serve my neighbor. So it's one thing, it's maybe even easier to laugh a little bit about, like, hey, we all know the areas of work and family and cleaning up the house. It's like, well, yeah, our hearts aren't in it. But what about when our hearts aren't on the things that God has given us to do, that God's called us to do? And see, that's what we're going to really see in Jonah chapter 3. I think the thing that stood out to me the most is this reality that God's heart can carry the slack while our hearts catch up. God's heart, His love for people, His love for the city, His love for our neighbors, God's heart can carry the slack while our hearts kind of play catch up. So even when our hearts aren't in it, God's heart's big enough to do the work that He wants to see done. And so as I mentioned, you know, there's kind of three specific things through this chapter in Jonah that I want to zero in on that I kind of feel like God highlighted for me and for us. Two of them are pretty explicit. You know, they're just like right there, you know, verbatim. It's just what's written right there in the text. One of them is a little bit more implicit, but I think it's very evident to see when you kind of, you know, just read through the story and give it a little bit of thought. So we'll start off kind of with the two that are most plainly stated. But in the opening verses, it says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Love that God's a God of not even just second chances, right? I mean, God's a God of third, fourth, 100 chances. He's just such a patient God. So the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to them the message I give you. Verse 3, Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. So Jonah obeyed and went. That was kind of the first thing that stood out to me. Jonah obeyed and went. Now, I have to be honest, I was having a little bit of a hard time with this as I was just kind of thinking about, like, hey, Jonah obeyed and went, like, you know, amazing. You know, like, yeah, maybe he didn't do it the first time around. His first response was to run, you know, and direct disobedience to what God had spoken to him. But here he is, you know, going and doing it. But that's like, as I'm reading the story and everything else, I'm like, I was actually even talking to Thea about it the one night. I was like, I'm having a little bit of a hard time here. I'm like, because it's like, well, yeah, he went, but it's like God pulled out like a whale-shaped gun, pointed it at Jonah, and was like, hey, I think you should reconsider Nineveh. And Jonah's like, you know what? I'll go. And I'm like, he's not like a hero in this story, right? It's like that he was in the belly of a fish, got puked up onto land, and God's like, hey, I think you should go to Nineveh. And it's like, yeah, you know. I'm like, is that like a miraculous change of heart, or is that just a guy like, I don't want to do that again? But again, what I love about Scripture, and this is like all through the Bible, and to me, it's one of the reasons why we can trust it, is because the guys who wrote it, you know, led by the Spirit of God, the stories captured here, they don't always, like, I would be putting myself in like the best light possible every time I was mentioning myself in a story, and it's just more real than that. It's like, here's what really happened. Jonah was an actual guy like me who didn't obey God the first time around. No, he's somebody who chose to run instead of do what God did because his heart wasn't necessarily in the right place. And it's like, man, I can identify with that. Like, that's more real to me. That hits me where I'm living more than just every single story I read is just somebody who hears the word of the Lord, charges off in complete abounding faith, and God just does something miraculous every single time. I'm like, that doesn't hit me where I find myself living sometimes. But, like, I can relate to this story, right? I can relate to, like, hey, I need a second chance, God, because I really botched this last one up. So it's like, no, Jonah didn't go the first time, and no, he there was some, you know, God had a very convincing argument to get him to go the second time, but it doesn't change the fact that he did go. And I can tell you, there's been times where I've been given a second chance and I still didn't go. Right? So the fact that I don't want to take anything away from Jonah that he did at least go the second time, because I feel like there's been times I'm a third, fourth, fifth down the road before I'm starting to really piece together that this is something I need to do. Or that my heart begins aligning enough with the heart of God that I'm willing to take a couple steps and start moving out in faith. So he went. And it says, in love, God is reaching out to Jonah. That's what I love about this is it's like, so, you know, it's God's heart for Nineveh, yes. It's this amazing, huge city. And it's like, well, yeah, God's not just going to turn his back on, you know, over 100,000 people. He's a God of love. But it's like not even just the city. Like God's pursuing just this guy named Jonah. Because if he didn't care as much about Jonah and his heart and his life as he did about Nineveh, he could have just picked somebody else. Right? Jonah runs off and it's like, all right, fine, go. I'll raise up somebody else. I'll send somebody else that'll do what I'm asking them to do. He could have just let Jonah sail off into the sunset, or he could have let Jonah die in the belly of the fish. But he's actually as in love with Jonah as he is with the city. It's this amazing juxtaposition that we see in the heart of God where he's able to do both at the exact same time. He is passionately in love with Penn State University. He's passionately in love with Center County. And he's passionately in love with just you individually. And he's pursuing the hearts of all those people and all those places and all those counties and the nations and the world and you at the exact same time. So he's pursuing our hearts, he's pursuing my heart, and he's pursuing our county, our state. This is the 2030 vision. We want to see the number of Christ followers double in central Pennsylvania. And I can have faith that God can do that even when my heart's not quite right, because God's heart can pick up the slack. And even while he's sending me out to central Pennsylvania, I know that he's just as faithfully coming after just me. It's an amazing love of the Father. And then the second thing, so Jonah obeyed and went. And then the second thing that just kind of stood out to me, and again, this is just one of those plainly written in the text, but it says Jonah began. You know, so Jonah has this massive city that he's sent to, and it's like 3 days to travel through this city. You know, I'm like, where do you even start? How would I even begin? And it just says, you know, Jonah just kind of walked for a day, and then he just started giving the message that God gave him to do. Hey, 40 days until Nineveh is overthrown. So he began. Like, arguably, as I'm reading this, I'm like, well, maybe you should have, like, done what Moses did. He just kind of went right to Pharaoh. You know, like, you know, Jonah, maybe it would have made more sense just to go right to the king of Nineveh instead of just kind of walking through the streets of the city, from what it sounds like, just kind of walking, just picking a direction, walking for a day, and just kind of delivering your message. You know, maybe you should have tried to book some, you know, some space in the amphitheater, local amphitheater. I don't even know if I'm pronouncing that right, but you know what I'm saying? Get some stage time, right? Get up in front of a crowd. It's like, but instead he's just like, all right, I'm just gonna start walking. And I'm just gonna just start saying to random people who are like doing their grocery shopping, hey, 40 days and Nineveh's getting overthrown. And I'm like, all right, so again, arguably not the right strategy, or at least not the most effective. There could have been some other stuff, but I don't think, again, I think what I love about the story and what God is even trying to highlight, at least for us this morning, is don't focus so much on like what is the exact strategy necessary for me to do what the begin. Just begin. Pick what's the next step? What's the first step? Don't worry about, is this the best strategy to accomplish everything that I feel like God wants to accomplish? Just be faithful to start moving. Be faithful to begin. Pick a direction that you feel like God's pointing you. I mean, he didn't walk in the opposite direction. I mean, he walked into the city, right? So there was some intentionality in the direction that he picked. He walked into the city that God sent him to. So if many of our Ninevehs are our neighborhoods, pick a neighbor. Don't worry about every single neighbor. Don't worry about every house on the block. Don't worry about which ones already like you and which ones you're not sure do. Don't pick a neighbor and walk across the street and start doing what God's called us to do, and let's see what he does. Because the third point that I want to point out is basically what God does in response to Jonah obeying and beginning. And what we see is that the third point, this is the one that's not explicitly stated in the text. It doesn't just word for word say this, but I think when you read this story, you can't get around the fact that God goes with those he sends. God goes with those he sends. I mean, Jonah, and I think Dan actually maybe had even mentioned this in the very first message of this series, is he says, you know, everybody focuses again on the fish, the whale, like, you know, like scientifically, how could this have happened? You know, there's no way he could have lived 3. He's like, really, the bigger miracle in the book of Jonah is the fact that an entire city from top to bottom, king down, repented. Can you picture that happening today? Somebody like driving into New York City, walking for a day and just saying to random people on the street, hey, 40 days, repent, 40 days, God's overthrowing New York City, and the entire city repents. That's the bigger miracle of the book of Jonah, is this entire city repents. And it's like, how? One of my first thoughts is, like, what have I read so far in the book of Jonah to make me think that Jonah has that kind of anointing? Yes, he's a prophet. He's got that going for him. He's a prophet whose heart is not in it. And, like, spoiler alert, I don't want to, like, steal the thunder away from whoever is going to be preaching next week, Jonah chapter 4, but read ahead. His heart's still not in it. Even while the revival's happening, it's like, so it's like, it's not that Jonah just like, and then all that we're given in this chapter of like his sermon is 40 days and God's overthrowing Nineveh. That's kind of his message. Now, maybe, and this is like, you know, I am going to say this a little bit tongue in cheek, but it is at least possible that, you know, what Scripture's giving us here is just kind of a summation of what, you know, of what Jonah said. It's just a summary. It's not, you know, maybe he had a lot more that he said. Maybe he made this incredibly impassioned, tear-filled plea for the people to repent, and he had well-worded, you know, stories and parables, and it was just one of the most effective oratory presentations ever. Maybe. And that's really what led people to repent, was just the impressiveness of the message. I don't think that's what it was. And again, if you read Jonah from start to finish, I think it's more likely that what we have here is all he said, and it was delivered with all the passion of a DMV employee. It was like, hey, 40 days, and you guys are all dead. Hey, 40 days, you guys are dead. And like, that's it. Because his heart, like, this is not just a... I really want to like settle this in our hearts and our minds. Like, his heart was really, really not in it. You read the whole story, he does not care about these people. Like, genuinely. It would be borderlining on, like, I think... And you know, I haven't like studied this, so maybe there's people that disagree, and maybe I would have my mind changed. But whenever I read Jonah, I'm like, it almost seems like he hates them. And yet, repentance through the whole city, top to bottom. How does that happen? It happens because God went with Jonah. It wasn't Jonah. And what's really neat and what's really encouraging is that we see this all throughout Scripture, over and over and over again. When God sends his people or when God sends a person, his answer to the question of how on earth are we going to do this or how on earth am I supposed to do this, his answer is consistently, oh, I'm going to be there. I'm going with you. I mean, you see this in Exodus whenever he's having this conversation with Moses about going to, and he's like, why would Pharaoh listen to anything that I have to say? And he's like, well, I'm going to go with you. Why would the Israelites listen to me as their leader? Because I'm going to go with you. You see it with the prophet Isaiah. You see it with the prophet Jeremiah where he says, hey, don't be afraid. Go do what I'm telling you to do. Say what I'm telling you to say, and I'm going to be with you. And you see it all through Scripture. I mean, right up until the Great Commission. Jesus has been resurrected from the dead. He's meeting with his disciples. He's giving them the Great Commission. Go forth into all the world. Teach everybody. Make disciples. Teach them what I've taught you. And he says, and behold, I will be with you until the end of the age. How are we going to do that? How am I going to go do front yard mission? Like, can I be real for a second? You know, pastor. Okay, yeah, I'm a pastor. True. And sometimes it feels like it's a check mark against me. Like, well, you're a pastor, though. He's like, yeah, I am. Can I tell you, I get as unconfident and uncomfortable as anybody else in this room at times when I start talking to people about Jesus or trying to build a relationship. I'm an introvert trying to build a relationship with neighbors that I don't know, trying to ask my neighbor who I've been living next door to for 4 years to tell me his name again because I can't remember it. It's awkward. And you can try to let yourself off the hook by saying, well, it's easier for you, Scott, because you're a pastor. You're wrong. I'm just letting you know you're wrong. Not that easy. But it's what God's called us to do. And how can I do it? How can you do it? We can do it because God's going to go with us. That's why we can do it. Not because I'm so unbelievably well-versed in Scripture and I can answer every theological question with accuracy that will shift your heart and the way you... No, I get stumped. I can do it because I've got the Holy Spirit living in me, which is the same Holy Spirit living in you, and we have the same God sending us as the God who sent Jonah, as the God who sent Moses, as the God who sent Isaiah, as the God who sent Jeremiah, and we have the exact same promise that how am I going to do this? You're going to do this because I'm going with you. I'm not sending you alone. And so we can move out in love towards our neighbors because God has told us that we're going to meet him there as we move out. As we go on mission, we connect with the heart of God. You want to have a better understanding of how much God loves you and people? Go on mission with Jesus. And you'll start seeing how much he loves your neighbors, and it's going to start resonating with you. If he loves them, this is how he loves me. This is how he loves everybody I'm seeing. It changes us. So God's heart and his power went with Jonah. So, you know, I don't know... I'm not comfortable telling us, like, hey, be like Jonah. A whole lot about Jonah I don't want to be like. But there's aspects of Jonah that you have to be able to respect. I don't want to take away from him that he went, that he got started, that he was used by God to bring repentance to an entire city. That's not nothing. Can we believe that God's going to use us to do something like that on our block, in our neighborhoods, in our workplace, in our families? Can we believe that God's going to use us the way that he used Jonah? And that even though maybe we can't see a way, like how on earth is this going to happen? What's their response going to be? All the things that we wonder and we worry about and we question. Maybe if we just begin, you know, maybe if we take that step, maybe if we obey and go, we'll end up getting just as surprised as Jonah at what the heart of our Father is able to do, even when our hearts aren't fully in it. His heart can pick up the slack. So two things I just kind of want to leave with you to think about, to question, to pray on. You know, one, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time because I have touched on these already. But one, we have all been sent. There is nobody in this room, if you're following Christ, that you have not been sent by Christ on mission for and with him. You are. And some of us may be running, right? We might be running right now. We didn't buy a plane ticket or hop on a ship, but we're running, you know, running instead of going to Tarshish, you know, we're running away to career. We're running away to kids' sports. We're just running away to busyness. We're running away to Netflix or social media. There's lots of ways for us to run today. I think Jonah picked a ship because he didn't have nearly the options that we had. If Jonah was alive today and he was interested in running, he may very well have just sat down in the living room and turned on the TV and run away from God that way. But even if you're running, like I'm not saying like, hey, I used to be a runner, but bless God, I'm not anymore. No, like you're currently running. God is still extending to you a second chance, a third chance, a 100th chance for you to respond and obey and do what God's calling you to do. You know, Jake mentioned earlier, like, hey, maybe you guys are sick of hearing about Front Yard Mission. And maybe, you know, but we can't stop talking about it. And I'm convinced a lot of the reason why, and I'm talking at times for me, that we get tired of hearing about it is because we get tired of hearing about what we know we're supposed to do, but we're not willing to do. Nobody likes to hear about that. It's like somebody who like, if you had a friend that every single time you met, ran into each other, they asked you how the diet was going. It's like, I don't want you in my life. Right? Because I know I should be dieting. I'm not dieting. Please stop. Right? So it's a little bit like that. It's like, how's your front yard? Like, Scott, I don't want to hear this anymore. Stop asking me how my front yard mission is going. I'm not doing it. And if that's you, God bless you. He loves you. His heart can pick up the slack. My encouragement would be, go anyway, even if your heart's not in it. Move and see what God does, even with your heart not in it. And the second one, so we've all been sent. I just want you to let that ruminate in your heart and mind. You're not disqualified. I don't know what all's going on in your life, past, present. You're not disqualified as somebody that God wants to use to be a blessing to the people that you're living life around. You're sent. And the second one is just kind of a fill in the blank. You know, Jonah began by walking one day into the city and delivering the message. Put your name in the blank. Scott began by. What's your began by? What's your began by? It may be like, say, Scott, you know, I've never even started praying for my neighbors. Let that be your began by. Put your name. Scott began by praying for my neighbors. Learning names. Inviting somebody over for a meal. Doing a fire pit and inviting a couple neighbors over. Doing a donuts in the drive. Whatever. What's your began by? Don't let yourself not begin. Don't let yourself not take a first step. Maybe this CWOW, next week, this coming CWOW, maybe this can be your began by. Maybe up till now, every CWOW Sunday has just been a Sunday off. You've done errands. You've sat at home. You've relaxed. No judgment. Maybe this CWOW Sunday can be your began by. Do your first prayer walk. I was walking with my 9-year-old son the other day, just the two of us. We were just kind of walking, and I said, hey, you know, sometimes when I'm walking, I like to pray for the houses that I'm walking past. I said, but here's the tricky part. I don't know them. I was like, I know nothing about any of these people. I'm like, so how do you pray for somebody you don't know anything about? I said, so what I do is I just pray for them the way I wish they'd be praying for me. I'm like, we currently have 3 people in the house throwing up. Let's pray for their health. I'm like, I'd love to have a really great marriage. Let's pray for a marriage. If there's a couple living in there, let's pray for a marriage. I want to have a great relationship with my kids and my kids to have a great relationship with me. Let's pray for the family relational dynamic of the house. Like, I want to be financially responsible and blessed and be able to pay my bills. And let's pray for God to bless their finances. Like, it's really not difficult. And we did like a block and like the last maybe 1/5 of our walk home. I said, hey buddy, how about we pray? He said, I don't know what to pray. I said, he's like, there's too many things to pick from. I said, well, that means you can't pick wrong. I'm like, because guess what? You can pray again tomorrow. I'm like, so don't worry about hitting it all. I'll pick one. And he just kind of prayed, God, I just pray that you would watch over them, take care of them, bless them, keep them healthy. Amen. And like, I went home that night and was so blessed to hear my son do that. We can do this. You can do this. Let CWOW Sunday be your began by. Do your first prayer walk if that's what it needs to be. And I'll just close with this. We can't let our hearts not being in it keep us from going on mission. But what's really neat is as we go on mission, I think our hearts will catch up to the heart of the Father. 2 quotes I want to share with you. This first one is from a guy named Charles Spurgeon. He was an amazing pastor, preacher, awesome man of God. Here's a quote from him. And as you listen to this, this is just a dude, right? I mean, he's well-known, amazing guy, but he's a guy, a human being, as sinful and fallen as the rest of us. As I read this quote, ask yourself, did his heart catch up with the heart of the Father? If sinners be damned, at least let them leap to hell over our dead bodies. And if they perish, let them perish with our arms wrapped around their knees as we implore them to stay. If hell must be filled, let it be filled in the teeth of our exertions, and let not one go unwarned and unprayed for. Man, that sounds like the heart of the Father. There's no way that's where he started. He didn't come out of the womb like this. You know, the other one is Paul, the Apostle Paul. There's a part where he actually says, I would wish myself cut off from God, like unsaved, destined to live, to spend eternity apart from the Father, if it meant that my fellow countrymen could encounter Christ. I would forfeit my salvation if it meant they could have their salvation. So our hearts can get there. These aren't just like too unbelievably unrealistic. This is where God wants to take us, but we can start moving even when our hearts aren't in it. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we love you so much. Thank you that you are gracious, that you are patient, that you are long-suffering. Lord, thank you that you don't respond to us the way that we would probably respond to ourselves if we were in your position. But Lord, you consistently call us to yourself. And even as you pursue our city, our state, you also pursue every single one of us individually. You are an awesome God. Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would just continue to speak to us, convict us, lead us, encourage us, so that every single one of us is willing to obey and go. Every single one of us is willing to fill in the blank and fill in that began statement. Lord, and maybe there are some of even here that they have begun. Lord, show them what the next step is. And God, we pray for a story in central Pennsylvania like a story that we read in Nineveh. Lord, do what only you can do, and we ask it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.